Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Turn with me to Matthew chapter 14. I'm just going to read one verse, and I'm just going to believe in warp speed here this morning. You need the Holy Spirit to touch you. I'm going to be praying for people through the week here of Daniel Brack and his beautiful wife, Karen. What a pastor you have. Come on, give them a big God bless you right here. This building here isn't just made by money. And this property isn't just money. It's faith. Somebody had to have a vision. Somebody had to really see this before you could sit in it. And a lot of times that's what has to happen before you get your money or your healing, that you get out of that wheelchair. Sometimes you have to begin to practice, you know, what you see beyond the natural thing, seeing beyond where you are, you know, having a vision of what the Word of God teaches us, but also what all you're being exposed to. And I just want you to know that today could be the beginning of something that you hardly could ever. We're seeing miracles of just long term. Born blind, born crippled, just amazing things. But how can you get there if you expect nothing? I was healed of brain cancer. I'll be telling more about that, I think, maybe in tonight's meeting. In a Catherine Kuhlman meeting, I was given 3 days to live. The cancer had spread metastatic into my whole body. So I was taken to a meeting I was dismissed from the hospital against doctor's wishes. So that was in 1962. That's back when Fred Flintstone was in the hospital with me. Come on. Wilma was one side and Fred was on the other. And that was back when medicine was pretty archaic and the needles were this long. Come on. I mean, they were that big. And so it was really a difficult time to be having brain cancer, lung cancer. And I'll tell more about that, but I just want to say that he's a God of miracles. And he doesn't heal you because you're good. He heals you because he's good. And you just never know when intervention is going to come. That's my whole thought this morning. He's a God of intervention. You didn't get it. I can tell this side doesn't get anything. Come on. Say he's a God of intervention. I mean, if you don't believe, then anything can happen at any given moment. In church, in a car, on a fishing stream, in an amusement park. It can happen. Where dormant seeds that have been planted and you come up and they meet him. And whether it's a visitation of his mercy or of his grace, they both work. Mercy is whenever you don't deserve it. Come on. I mean, he didn't heal one Christian. Not one Christian did Jesus heal. They hadn't gone to the cross yet. They were still in their sins. Their sins weren't paid for. Come on, somebody say, I know what that feels like. Come on, say that. And yet he came, and when they would leave his presence, he would say, go your faith. But if you read what they had their faith in, all of those stories, blind Bartimaeus, the 10 lepers, the Syrophoenician woman, on and on and on, they all had their faith in his mercy. Mercy means I don't deserve it. Grace means, hey, this is something I'm going to give you. Mercy means I'm not going to let this happen to you. It's like a little boy went into an ice cream store one time to get an ice cream, and when the guy's back was turned, he reached over and stole some candy. And the manager of the ice cream store caught him and grabbed his hand and said, we're calling your mother. Took him around the corner to the phone. He said it's whenever the phone was still on the wall. It was still... And took him around to the phone and was on the phone calling the boy's mother. And he looked down at the kid and he said, yeah, you know what? This isn't worth it. He said, look, just get out of here. You shouldn't do that. Just get out of here. That's mercy. He deserved to be corrected, but he was left to go. As he's going out the door, the store owner says, hey, son, come back here just for a second. And he come running back and he gave him two scoops of ice cream. He said, here, take this with you. That's grace. Come on, say, mercy. And grace, at the throne of grace, I can obtain mercy. That means you don't have to be good or do good. That's not taking away your motivation to be good or do good and be better. It just means we have a God who works outside the line of common sense. Come on, say, this book doesn't make sense. It makes faith. Give him a big hand clap for that. Come on, give me a big hand clap. But it says here in verse 25, it says, and in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. It's interesting when God shows up. It's not always when we think he should. And sometimes we think he's a little late. You know, I mean, he showed up all through the Gospels. That one man at Bethesda was there 38 years, crippled, 38 years. The hunched over lady with scoliosis or some form of osteoporosis was 18 years. He showed up with a lot of people that had long-term conditions. Come on, say these words with me. It's never too late. Unless you make it too late. It's never too late for him to show up. You're never too old. You're never too young. You know, but if you really hold on to faith, if you hold on to what you read here, because, I mean, that's what this book is supposed to do for us, or these collection of books, or 66 of them. That's what this Bible preaching, as your pastor's preaching or your guest speakers are preaching, they're supposed to create something inside of you that says, yeah, I can do that. I can receive that. That has my name on it. Why not me? Why not now? Why can't I beat the odds? Why can't I be the one that gets away? I mean, you're not that bad. Legion had 6,000 demons in them. Oh, I'm talking to a few people here today. Come on, say 6,000 demons. That's what a legion was, 6,000 soldiers. 6,000 demons in one man. So look at your neighbor and say, you're not that bad. Come on. And yet the time came for his deliverance. And he wasn't in church. And he didn't have a Bible. He probably didn't know one song that you sang this morning. Yet mercy came to his house. Mercy can pass over your house. We don't love him because we love him. We love him because he first. Come on, say, he loved me when nobody loved me. And so in this story, we see him coming in the fourth watch of the night. And so whether he comes by way of intervention or whether he comes by way of invitation, even though he was invited to the wedding feast where the marriage was, they had no wine. So he was invited, but then he had to intervene. See, intervention is whenever God sticks his big hand into your life. He gives you preaching. He gives you examples. You hear testimonies to try and stir you back into a place of expectation that, hey, why not me? Why can't this happen to me? You know, and because we get so used to, get ready for this. This is, I'm here just to be some kind of a help, if I can, in your faith, in your journey, to help you receive. Because the best kind of money is the kind I can hold. Faith money is good, but I like the money I can see. Faith healing is beautiful, but I like the healing that manifests in my body. Yes, amen. I'll eat faith food for a while, but I need real food pretty soon. Come on, somebody say something there.
Yes, yes.
And I think sometimes we get into a mindset here that we forget about what all's available to us. Sometimes we think we don't deserve it. That's the main thing I run into, where I'm too old, or why should it? There was a man in Puerto Rico. There were 10,000 people in this service. I went down to the front row. There's a guy here, and I said, sir, yeah, he had a big cane with him. I said, sir, so what do you need? He said, I need to get rid of this cane. I can't walk without this cane. I said, sir, how old are you? He said, 90. 99. I said, 99, you should want to go to heaven. Boy, did that make him mad. He said, I said, you should want to go to heaven at 99. Why stay here? He jumped up on his feet. He grabbed hold of that cane. He said, but I'm dead. I'll go to heaven. But as long as I'm alive, I want to be healed. Hey. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
And I mean, I touched him, the cane went one way, he went, and he started running around that whole place at 99. I went back the next year, he had a box of hankies waiting for me at 100. I said, sir, what's the, he said, you need prayer, preacher, you need some prayer. I had to help you, even help me get healed. Come on, preacher, don't give up on us old people. So I thanked him, and we went on his way. I went back the next year, he was 101. Here's some more hankies. What's these hankies for? Preacher, you need some help. I'm praying for you. You got to get better than what you're doing. 101, 102. I thought, when's this guy going to die, you know? Because he had an expectation, and he had faith that was just unusual. We cancel out our own self. We're not on our own team half the time. One day we deserve it, one day we don't deserve it, one day we want it, one day not so what, I can live with it. You expect more from vitamins than you do from the scriptures. You have confidence in your vitamins having eyes. This one goes to my adrenal, this one goes to my lungs, this one goes to my liver. And you take it expecting that. When you take an aspirin, you expect relief. And when you put that wonderful odor, Bengay, on your body, even though it smells horrible and it ruined your love life, come on, say amen. Even though that, you still expect relief. You know, when you go to the dentist like I do, and you get Novocaine, or whether it's the Novocaine or whether it's the kind they rub on, the gel kind they rub on, you're just waiting for that numbness. You're expecting it. We expect it's going to get cold here in about, we won't talk about that. Yeah. But then when you come in here and you hear these wonderful songs and you see God move and you feel the Holy Spirit, you're not expecting that carpal tunnel to go away. You're not expecting that blind eye to open. And so God brings you here to get a little bit of help, but not to stay the same. If you challenge nothing, you change nothing. Come on, say, if I challenge nothing, I change nothing. And it's important that you allow yourself to be challenged without being offended. Too many people get offended. All I'm trying to do is help you. You know, this guy was in Pittsburgh. He was in a wheelchair 20 years, paralyzed, 20 years. It was packed out. We were worshiping. We expected miracles. And when we expect miracles, I expect miracles. And so we went down. I went down to him in the chair. And I said, come on, I pray you walk. So I said, I pray you walk. He said, Billy, you're embarrassing me. Well, I had a microphone like this. I had the one on over the chest here. And the whole place heard it. And they just looked like, what? And I said, I'm not trying to embarrass you. I'm trying to help you. He said, I can't walk. I said, I know, I can see that. But today you walk. See, faith isn't in the future. Faith is always now. Amen. Come on, say, now faith is. Now faith. Manifestation may be later. We know that. But always release faith at the moment, in the moment. Come on, say, at the moment, in the moment. Just keep releasing. You keep pushing that reset button. Because you got to get manifest-minded. Oh, I felt the Lord today. Well, what did that do for you? What are you benefiting from the worship you're in? We love our church. What's it benefiting you? How are you moving forward? Are you just waiting to die gracefully? Or do you want to be a testimony beyond? You want to be the one in your family that got away from the curse.
Yeah, amen. Yes.
So I put my hands on the arms of the wheelchair, and I said, sir, I said, listen to me. I said, I'm going to pray you walk. He said, Billy, you're embarrassing me. I said, I don't know what to do. I said, I'm here to help you walk. I only did that because I perceived that he had the faith to be healed. And sometimes you're going to challenge people beyond their own comfort level. So if I come here to listen just to you, we may not get anywhere. But if I come and tell you my story and the stories of the scriptures and what I've seen, just maybe the AAA truck will show up. Come on, somebody, and get you out of here. And so I put my hands on the chair and I said, listen, I said, sir, He said, Billy, you're embarrassing me in front of all these people. I said, how about if I do this? Here's the best deal that I have. I pray you stand. He said, I can't stand. Look at my legs. I said, I see them, but I see a big God right behind you. He was very uncomfortable challenging him. I was uncomfortable challenging him. I want to embarrass not one person. But if my job is to come here, and if it's my one and done trip to Alaska, come on, somebody say amen here, one, then I have to try and get you beyond where you are. Because I think everybody in here has at least a mustard seed. Come on, see, all I need is a mustard seed in the right place, and major things begin to happen. So I put my hands on the chair, and we were there maybe 10 minutes at least. And I said, sir, did you read the sign on the church outside of this meeting? He said, I didn't see the sign. I said, it said miracle service, a miracle service. He said, here's what he said. Here's what he said. Listen to me very carefully. I didn't come for that. I come for prayer. Well, don't get upset with him. It's some of you too. If we get a little prayer, we're satisfied. Prayer comforts us. Prayer makes us think we did our job. No, your job's beyond prayer.
Yes.
Your job's jumping onto that prayer with some wings and taking off where you've never been before, or at least beginning to believe again. Come on, say, believe again.
Believe again.
You did believe once, but that disease wore you out, or some bad experiences in your own family wore you out. People that you thought should have had this and never, and it affects you if you let it affect you. And he said it to me again. He said, I want some prayer. I said, okay, here's what we do. I pray, you walk. It wasn't me. I'd have left the guy go. I had another 1,500 people to pray for. That was not my issue. My issue was I was on assignment and God wouldn't leave this guy alone. Knock, knock. Who's there? Holy Ghost. Come on. And I said, okay. I said, a second time, I said, look, I got to go because everybody's just waiting for men. They're there expecting, waiting. Here's a guy here in a wheelchair down front, and he's lost the power of expectation. Love God. Love being in church. Love our services. Love the worship. But expecting nothing. I said, oh my. So I said, I'm going to count to three. You stand. Da, 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 da. And he said, Billy. I said, here we go. One, two, three. Stand. I said it so loud and so sharp, it probably shook half the people in that building because I don't really talk that loud most of the time. But I shouted, stand. He jumped up out of that wheelchair. His legs were shaking like spaghetti. I mean, he's going, He looked, I said, look at this. He said, I don't believe it. I said, I know you don't. You're on my faith right now. Come on, you're on borrowed faith. This is a borrowed accent. Come on. And he's just shaking. He said, I don't believe this. I said, I know. I said, what do you want to do? He said, well, I'd like to walk. I said, well, there's the whole front of the church. Go. So he walks across the whole front of the church. And the whole time he looks at this huge congregation, he says, I don't believe any of this. I don't believe this. This shit can't be happening to me. And I just stood there and looked at him and I said, you're walking. How'd that happen? And then he said those words, I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? Who did this? Who did this to you? Hey, I'd rather you get healed all on your own. I don't need you to pray for. I know you don't. I don't need you either. I'll go somewhere else. But God puts people together for a purpose. Come on, say for a season and for a purpose. And he came back and he started crying. Well, that released faith in the whole place. We had a mad dash to the altar. I mean, everything, it was like popcorn. Blind got healed, the deaf got healed, this person here got a back brace off, and boom, boom, and boom, and boom. It's because somebody allowed themselves to be pushed a little bit out of their comfort zone. Why did Jesus say, rise, pick up thy bed? Why is there three times in that chapter he mentioned the bed, and the bed, and he picked up his bed, and picked up his bed? Because he got comfortable in his illness. We get used to it. What you get used to becomes invisible. Anything you're used to, anything that becomes common to you becomes very much invisible in your life. And a girl in Chicago came up out of Chicago and she said, I'm so tired. I shoot myself 18 times a day. I have diabetes. I'm almost blind. And she said, I'm just so tired. I got needle marks all over me. I'm just worn out. And she said, can this work for me? And she showed me some of the needle marks. And I said, ma'am, it's more than, yes. Yeah, but don't butt me. He heals people that aren't right. He didn't heal all Christians. I've seen so many people get healed and delivered. We was in a meeting, and so anyhow, I got to pray for this girl from Chicago, and I mean the power hit her. She went under the power, and she just screamed and cried, and I said, go check, make sure you confirm it and come back. We were there a couple of days. She came back, and she said, my God, I don't even need the needles anymore. I was standing in a, this was in Sarasota, Florida, and boy, the Spirit fell on this whole place. God was doing some amazing things. This young guy came up, and I mean, he just, eyes rolled back in his head. And I knew we were dealing with a man that had some passengers. And we got to get the passengers off the bus. Come on, say amen. So he went down. He is just going all this. Well, he screamed. He looked like he was pretty much free to me. Here, this was Charles Manson's grandson. Yeah, I didn't know that. And I was in the back room taking my mic off, and they came back and said, you know who that guy was, and he wants to talk to you. I said, talk to me? Who wants that? He said, that's Charles Manson. I said, bring him back. He came back crying. He said, I've had this torment in me for years, and I never wanted to be like my father or my grandfather. His dad was Charles Manson, his grandfather, same name. So we played a little bit of words games there with him, and he came to see me later. We had a camera on it filming the testimony, and he was a broken man. He said, those voices tormented me, but they're not there no more. Oh, come on, they're not there. You know, so it's a matter of what can you begin to believe and expect again? Even though he may be coming on the fourth watch. Why didn't he heal me 30 years ago? I sure could have used it 30 years ago. How many will still take $1 million today instead of... Even though it's a little late, how many would find a way to spend it today? And see, sometimes we hear so much, we sing so much, and expect so little. There's not too many people that'll reject prayer. The stranger out there in the street, can I pray for you? Yeah, I can always use an extra prayer. It doesn't mean he's expecting anything to change. Whatever we can do to help create that expectancy, you know, is so vital because you need a place to release your faith. Having faith isn't the secret. I have faith. That's not the secret. It's releasing that faith. It's when your faith touches him that something happens, not when your faith touches you. And so finding that place of release is unique to all of us. I don't know how much time I have here. Was that military time?
That's it. It's a countdown.
I'm in a countdown. Oh, my gosh. I'm creating a memory right here in Alaska. Let me tell you this one story. It's real unique. That's just about what I have time for. But we was in Washington, D.C., and the lady that owned the Marriott next to the White House, she came to me and said, would you come and do a meeting? I'll pay for the whole thing. Just come and pray for people. So I thought that was a great opportunity. So we went right next to the White House, Marriott, all that. And so I was praying for people, and this lady of color brought her daughter up, who was born blind. I'm going to tell you this story, just so you know, before I finish this story. I've never done this before, this story, and I'm not planning on doing it here in Anchorage. Come on, say amen. Or Wasilla. And so she's standing there in front of me blind, and I said, okay. I said, I'm going to pray for your eyes, and you're going to see. And she said, I said, what do you think of that? She says, okay. Very nonchalant, very unemotional, very stoic. So I put my hand on her eyes, took their hands away, and nope, nope. And I thought, oh boy, this is a tough one right here. I can just tell this is the tough one. Took my hands back down, and I put my hands, I said, here we're going to go again. Put my hands up on the eyes and prayed for the eyes and took my hands away. And she said, nope, nope. And I thought, okay. And I was ready to wrap it up and just encourage her and saying, well, we prayed. I believe he's touching you. I believe. We always want to leave people with the encouragement that he's still going to do this, if not here at the moment. We want to make sure of that, make clear of that to you as well. And I was ready to do that. I was ready to wrap this thing up. And the Holy Spirit said, you tell her to stick out her tongue. I said, what's that got to do with anything? He said, tell her to stick out her tongue. I said, ma'am, could I see your tongue for a minute? I didn't know what I was saying. This is a church service. This isn't. See, so this here ministry that I'm in, you're out on the plank more than you're in the boat. You live on the plank here, right? And the sharks are right down there. I saw it. She had her tongue. She had her tongue. I said, okay. And I'm just listening to him repeating Holy Spirit. I said, there's the problem. She says, what do you see? I said, I can't say all that I see, but I'm here to help. And I'm thinking, I'm struggling inside. What do you want me to do here with this tongue? He said, I want you to place three words on her tongue with your hand. You place three words that I tell you on the tip of her tongue with your fingers. And she's blind. So she don't know if I washed my hands or I got clean hands or she don't know anything. I said, ma'am, I'm going to put words on your tongue. I'm going to touch your tongue with my fingers. Now, I don't even like touching my own tongue. Imagine touching strangers' tongues. Oh, my God. And so her tongue's hanging on, and I said, I see the problem. I didn't see anything in the natural. I'm just going by him. I don't prepare sermons, I prepare me. Before this meeting here, that I prepared me, tonight me, this week me, to meet you. I have nothing to give you myself. All that I have is a treasure. If I can get this treasure to you, if I can share one or two things with you that can help you cross that boundary. If you don't push boundaries, you go nowhere. There's boundaries here in you. Not in the city, not in the government, in you. If we get you to push a boundary, we change the whole country. Come on, somebody, help me. And I had never done this with anybody. I'd never touched a foreign tongue like that. Then I washed my hands before I came in, make sure my hands are, but I'm going to touch your tongue. And she said, okay. Like, this girl didn't care about much. So I said, okay. I said, I have the favor of God. I have the favor of God. That was a word, one of the words was favor. I touched her tongue. And when I touched her tongue, I thought, oh. And you'll find in the scriptures, this is an amazing discovery for Billy Burke, that most of the miracles took place on a coattail of following an instruction. If you read these stories, it was always go pick up your bed, go show yourself to the priest, go wash in the pool. Yeah. Follow that instruction, manifestation. And somehow in our mind, we think it's at the altar. It can be. But if you get up off the floor, or if you're not on the floor, if you're standing, whatever, and you walk out, and you don't follow through, then all you got was a prayer on that day. God wants to continually do stuff in you at any age. So I put that word favor on there, and I took my hands away. I'm thinking, what's the next word? And then the next word was, this is my day of manifestation. Manifestation. She said, this is my day of manifestation. She repeated everything I asked you to do. And it was three words. When she was done, she put her tongue back in. She said, now what? Now what? I'm thinking, oh, God, this isn't working. A lot of things in the natural don't seem like they are. It seemed like he was really dead. It seemed like they watched him seal the tomb. It seemed like he had no heartbeat, no brainwave. It seemed like. A lot of things seem like. It's our job to change what seems like. So I took the Lazarus, put it on her tongue, and I said, okay, now I'm going to touch your eyes. And I touched her eyes on the third time. When I took my hands away, she said, my God, Mama, he's a white man. He's a white man. My God. I mean, instead of saying, praise the Lord, hallelujah, I can see. My God, Mama, he's a white man. I didn't know how to take that. I looked at the mother. I said, man, I'm okay with black, white, red, yellow. I don't care. I'm okay with all that. She started crying. She said, I knew if I could just get her here, I just knew. I'm thinking, I'm glad you knew. I didn't know much right until this just happened. If we knew about the miracle, we'd have such a difficulty. That's why it's called a miracle. You leave wondering, how did that happen? The first thing he told me when I left that meeting, don't you go touching tongues now. Don't you go touching people's tongues. It wasn't the tongue that you touched that did this. You listen to me. You obey me. You listen to me, and I'll show you things you never have seen before. But usually what he wants you to do isn't something, it's something that moves you outside of your comfort zone. To get you into a place of, you know, you have to depend on somebody's word. How much do you depend on him? How quickly do we turn to vitamins or medicine or massage or a lot of the modern techniques that we haven't even put our hands on it yet. We haven't even put our hands on it. Do we turn to him? Bartimaeus cried out to him. Do we cry out? You know, one of the things that's always bothered me in the Bible is why it took God so long to get the Jews out of Egypt. 400 years. Early in my ministry, it tormented me. We'd see miracles and healings, but I thought, why 400 years? I know it's the old covenant, but why 400 years? Why? And I mean, my 10th year in the ministry, my 15th year in the ministry, I was in the ministry 20 years. And I never had an answer to that. It just, every time I'd watch Charlton Heston, you know, bring them out. Come on, somebody. I'd watch him do all that, and I'm thinking, yeah, but Lord, why 400 years? And it says, and you heard their cry. That's what it says over in Exodus 3. And he heard their cry. And I kept saying, why did it take you 400 years to hear their cry? And he never would answer me when I wanted him to answer me. And one day I was on a plane, just going to another city, to another meeting, and he spoke to me. He said, do you want to know? Do you want to know why it took 400 years? I said, yeah, I'm all ears. And I got my little pen out, my Sharpie. Yeah, why? He said, it took 400 years for them to get vertical. They cried within themselves. They cried to each other. They cried about Pharaoh. They cried about building treasure cities for Egypt. They cried, they moaned, they groaned. But 400 years, they finally got vertical. That's what moves me, when my people get vertical, when they come after me. Everybody wants to meet hands of the preacher, shake hands with the Pope, and we talk about that speaker and that book and that CD and that DVD and that crusade and that concert, and we tell other people how much we need the Lord. But we don't tell the Lord how much we need the Lord. We tell everybody in the church that my wife makes the best homemade bread. But we don't tell our own wife, hey, that's the best bread I've ever tasted. In church, we said, you ought to taste my wife's home. And then your wife has to say, I heard I make good bread. Or no, I heard you think I make good bread. Vertical. There's something about you communicating to him. There's something about that price being paid, that veil was rent for direct access, that we don't have to go through somebody to get to somebody. Come on, somebody. Wow. Somebody better give God a shout here today.
Hallelujah.
And I just want to say this in this first early morning service. I'd like to just believe that these days we have together, that I'm going to see most of you more than just this morning. And I'm asking you to really get ready to hear, to see, you know, to have that pacemaker taken out or repaired. I mean, just anything. We sent a man in Miami, paralyzed from the waist down, paralyzed, dismissed from the hospital, bedridden for 5 years. And they brought him into a Sunday morning service. And there was no magic. There was no fanfare. There was no hype, no motion. He amazes me. I leave every meeting thinking, how did you do that? Yet he did it for me when I had 3 days to live. And this man comes in. I said, what do you want to do, sir? He said, I'd like to walk. I said, well, let's walk. He said, but I can't walk. Come on, let's go. He's paralyzed in this chair. His name's Franklin. This is on our YouTube channel. And I said, just try. How can we do anything? How can we say we believe if we don't even try? If we don't even make any effort to let God have his way, to deliver you, like he did Manson's grandson, or some of the Hell's Angels we've had come in. We've had some of the Hell's Angels come into our meeting. I mean, I'm telling you what. Wow. You talk about, I said to one guy, you. I said, you. I didn't know how big he was because he was sitting down. I said, you. I wouldn't have talked to him like that if I'd have known who it was. I said, you. I said, yeah, you. And he had the jacket on, but I couldn't see it. I said, come on, get up here. He stood up. I thought, maybe you better sit down. Maybe you better. He was every bit 6'6", I don't know, 6'5", ripped, had that Hell's Angels jacket on. And he got out of that. He came walking up. He stood there, and he just overshadowed me. He said, what can I do for you? What do you want? I said, glad to meet you, sir. Just glad to meet you. I said, I believe God wants to touch you today. He said, well, I've been watching you here. Seems like you know what you're doing. He said, my two boys are sitting right back here. He said, just be careful how you touch me. And I looked back and I thought, oh. I said, oh, Lord. I said, here's what I said. Knock this guy into yesterday. Knock this guy into yesterday. I whispered it, though. I didn't say it to him. He said, sir, all I know is I looked at you and I saw the Holy Spirit doing something in your life. And I just said, I'm just going to touch you right up here. He said, touch me where you want, man. Just touch me anywhere you want. He hit the floor. Nobody caught him. Nobody wanted to catch him. And it was a concrete floor. He hit the floor. And I mean, the place shook. And he laid there. Well, then the two boys jumped up. They're up right up here. And the one kid said, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you right here. I said, don't do that right here. Don't do that. I said, Jesus. How fast you can go from faith to fear is open real quick. Come on, somebody. And this guy rolled over. And he said, hey, leave him alone. He got up and he shook off. He said, I don't know what hit me. I don't know what that was. He said, you didn't do that. He said, because I felt your soft hand on my face. But he said, something. I said, that's the Holy Spirit, sir. He said, I've never felt that in my whole life. I said, well, this is the beginning of a new life for you. He said, do you understand? I'm the killer of the gang. I'm the executioner. They send me to take care of people. I said, well, God took care of you today. And I'm hearing myself talk to this guy. And I'm thinking, I mean, he could just in one boom. Well, I'm stronger than that. Maybe two booms. Come on, somebody. And you get amazed at intervention. Here's what I'm expecting. Intervention's coming to your house this week. Come on, give him a shout. Come on, give him a shout. But you got to be willing to let him do something maybe you've never left him do. I have more stories than we have time to tell today, but these are a couple. They just came to me at the moment. But they're just a story of divine intervention. Where does it begin? Look at me. It begins with you getting vertical. Written word, that's great. If you're a student of the word, I mean, that's where we get all of our information from. Everything's based out of written word. But sometimes you got to put the book down because they didn't carry a Bible in those days. Bartimaeus didn't have a Bible. Couldn't see it if he did. But he had a cry. He had a cry. Everybody here has a cry. Something in here that nobody else wants to really listen to. For any length of time. Put your hands up all over the place. Come on. Come on, say, I have a cry. I have needs. I need miracles. I need intervention. I need you, Holy Spirit, to touch me today. Do something special. Plant that seed and cause me to hear. Cause me to see. Take out that pain in my body, the ache in my heart, that memory that torments me. Do something magnificent today that I can talk about, that I can see and tell people about. I promise to give you all the praise. I promise to give you all the praise. Give me that lady right back there. Ma'am, you have it with a green sweater on. You, is that you with the silver hair? That's you, ma'am. Yeah, you. Come to me. Come to me. Help her. Ushers, help that lady quickly. Give her a big God bless you. Come on, come. Come. How are we doing today? Tell me, what do you need today?
What I need?
Yes.
I need more joy and more faith.
Oh, then take it. That's pretty quick, I'll tell you that right now.
Praise God.
You felt that, girl.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing. Amazing. It's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. He's restoring the years, ma'am. He's restoring the years and healing the memories. You're not going to have that torment anymore in your mind. This will be the first night tonight that you lay your head on the pillow and those voices will not be there. Come on, give God a big shout. Come on.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Give him a big shout. Give him a big shout. Give him a big one. Come on. Come, Holy Spirit, I need thee. Come, Holy Spirit, I pray. Come in thy strength. Come in thy strength and thy power. Oh, come in thine own special way. Come to me, young lady. You're in the blonde right here. Come to me, yeah, quickly. Oh, I love this. The rest of our team will be with us tonight. How you doing, sweetheart? What do you need today? There's a COPD being healed. Somebody here with COPD. Who is that? COPD. Where are you? Being wonderfully touched. COPD. It's came to me two or three times. I know you're in the room. Don't be ashamed of this. Come quickly. He's going to remove that from your lungs. Where are you with this COPD? Come. She's coming. It's the same lady. My God. She's got a miracle pass. Come on, give her a big God bless you. Hey. How long have you had this? COPD? How long you had this, ma'am?
Very mild. 10 years.
No more. Catch them before they hit, okay? Do you believe to catch them on the first bounce here, or do you catch them? When do you catch them?
First bounce.
This is... Some churches catch them on the first bounce. Some churches don't catch them. Some churches. Yeah. I'm just teasing you. I'm happy for you today.
Thank
you. Today's going to be a good day for you. What do you need here? Talk to me. Put your hands up. What you're fighting is big, but it's not bigger than God. You've left this become bigger than him. It's not bigger than him. He's bigger than anything you have faced or will face. Let him be big today. Let him have you today. The Bible says, David said, he delivered me from the snare of the fowler. And he's God's delivering you today. That hand that owns you, that hand that controls you, that witchcraft over your life, is being broken right now. You're going to get so free today. You're going to find a new you today, because there is a new you that's emerging, young lady, a new you. Time of being wasted is over. You're about to redeem time. You're about to get into the, oh, that's the power of the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody give God a big shout. Come on. If you're going to clap, do it right. Wow. Come on, ma'am. So how long have you had COPD? Here she is again, happy, smiling.
20 years.
20 years. Do they have to drain your lungs or?
No, just a lot of coughing, wheezing, cold.
Put your hands up.
Hey.
You're getting two before some of them get one.
I know. It's wonderful, isn't it?
She'll eat your whole meal if you let her. She'll take everything off of your plate. Don't let the woman do that.
It's wonderful.
Somebody want to help this girl up here? I think she needs a little bit of help getting up. Help her up. Come on. What's your name, sweetheart?
Olivia.
Olivia. Did you hear what was said to you? You heard it? You got to let him have you. You're trying to give him this. Let him have you. Put your hands up. Come on, say, Holy Spirit. Dear Jesus, I give myself to you in a new way today. Forgive me for making my stuff bigger than you. Nobody's bigger than you. You will live large in me from this day forward. And I will shine from the inside out. And the witchcraft is broken. Yeah. See, you can get all kind of mad at people that control you, but you let them control you. Then they take away your life. They live in your head for free. Don't let anybody live in your head for free. You felt that love go through you, didn't you? Come on, give God a big shout for that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. That's that power of God.
I take it.
She takes it. Come on, give her a big God bless you. I love it.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.